This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I'm your host on this weekend show. I also want to remind everybody, please visit our website, kereport.com, throughout the week because, this whole year actually has been very, very busy, and every day I'm publishing anywhere from, five, six interviews a day, trying to keep everyone up to date on companies and market moves. I'm kicking off this weekend show with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report, one of my preferred guests to put on the weekend show to cover more in a broad sense, more from a generalist aspect, what's happening in these markets. Now, Mike, you and I are recording this late in the day on Thursday, so we don't know where the markets close, but one thing that I think we can all take away from the trading action in Thursday is this broad sell-off across the board, a lot seeming to be on the back of Jerome Powell's comments from earlier today on Thursday. Let's break down Powell's comments. Why and what did Powell say that you think is moving these markets and scaring investors out?
No problem. It's actually kind of funny because back on, I guess it was the 22nd or 23rd when Powell was giving his testimony in Congress, I was listening to what he was saying. I was thinking about how the markets had been sort of, weak and on pins and needles for a while, the bond markets it is. And I kind of came to the conclusion now, the Fed, given rising inflation pressures and concerns, given the economic recovery we're seeing off the worst of the COVID lows, and given especially all the massive stimulus spending that's coming down the pike and that we've already seen from the Biden administration, what the market really wanted to hear was some kind of soft toward inflation concerns, reassurance that the cops are still on the beat, so to speak. I mean, the Fed has really been sounding almost extremely democratic and progressive in terms of the comments they're making, i.e., we don't care about inflation, and, we want to wait till every last person has a job, there's a chicken in every pot, we're going to let things run hot, we're not going to raise rates premature, and so on and so forth. It's been very much a hand in glove with sort of the Biden administration's fiscal policies. But the bond market in the last month leading up to that was really starting to rebel against that, looking for a little bit more of a, hey, we appreciate your concerns. We recognize the economy is improving. We probably want to start changing our messaging. But the Fed just didn't get it. And I said, I tweeted out on the 23rd during his testimony, I said, I wouldn't be surprised if we got a reverse taper tantrum. And by that, I mean, if you go back to 2013, the bond market had a taper tantrum because Ben Bernanke started saying, oh, maybe we can unwind, dial back the QE. Maybe we'll have to be, raise interest rates at some point. And he was saying that at a point where the market was not expecting that. So the market rebelled, interest rates went up, stock market went down, and so on a message that the Fed might prematurely, in the market's view, tighten. This time around, the Fed did the exact opposite, said, no, we're not going to prematurely tighten. We're going to keep QE. We're going to, keep rates low. We want to promote employment. We don't care about inflation, blah, blah, blah. And then what did you get? The same result, a taper tantrum in stocks and bonds. And the reason is that I think this time the big difference is there's tons of fiscal aid being and deficit spending being thrown at the economy and the market. So what the market wanted was some, again, the cops are on the beat messaging. We're concerned. We feel your pain, so to speak, about, what you're worried about. And Powell didn't deliver that either in his testimony or in his comments on Thursday. So what happened? Bonds tanked, stocks tanked, the market got even more skittish. So in other words, Powell's fumbling the ball here, but he's fumbling it in the exact opposite way, yet having the same impact that Bernanke did in 2013. It's very ironic, but I think that, that's exactly how things are playing out here.
So, Mike, what do you think it takes to get Powell to do more, to make the Fed more active in these markets?
Well, the problem is, it's ironic here because in Powell's messaging, he basically said, we're not too worried. We're not going to do anything unless markets get unruly and unless that, they move fast enough, interest rates move fast enough to tighten financial conditions. What happens when you say, we don't care until bad things happen? Bad things happen. The market tests you, and then you're forced to react. I mean, I don't know if Powell is just being overly academic about this. I don't know if it's just misreading the room, so to speak. But I really, really was adamant in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, that, you know, given what's happening in the markets, given the economic environment, the Fed needed to change its messaging and change it fast, or it was going to risk having an unruly market. It was going to risk having the comfortable move in interest rates become uncomfortable, the rise in interest rates, accelerate and get to such a magnitude that it impacted other markets. And that's exactly what we've seen. What my expectations have completely played out. So again, you know, the Fed really is dropping the ball here, and hopefully they'll get back on course, or we're going to have even worse results. You know, especially, and I shouldn't say, you know, when I say even worse results, I mean bigger declines, and especially some of these way overheated parts of the market that were relying on promises of easy money forever and no pushing back from the bond market. Look at some of these tech names, the Teslas, the ARK investments of the world. There's a lot of super overvalued, super high-octane parts of the stock market that have really benefited from the bond market working hand-in-glove with the Fed and the Biden administration. But, you know, the gloves fell off or came off, if you will, at the beginning of February, and that means that certain parts of the market are really in some trouble here.
So when it comes to that whole trend that we've been talking about, this rotation within the markets, a day like today on Thursday is a good example of money just flooding out of the markets. The broad averages are down. Really, the only thing that I'm seeing that is up is the U.S. dollar and oil. Oil is a whole other discussion that I'll get to later in this show, but when it comes to where money's going, where do you see money fleeing to?
Yeah, what's very interesting is from September through maybe the end of January, you saw money rotating out of some of the, you know, more defensive yield-oriented stuff like utilities, consumer staples, and into things like financials, industrials, and so on, and as you mentioned, energy as well. What started to happen, though, when you look kind of, I was preparing this month's Safe Money Report issue, and I was looking behind the scenes at different sector performance. What you saw is starting in early February, the very beginning of February, financials kept on going, but you started losing many more sectors. It wasn't just your obvious sort of utilities and some REITs that were losing ground relative to the market. And it wasn't just consumer staples. You started losing healthcare. You started losing tech. You started losing other sectors, and it was pretty much just financials that were still going up. So that was a divergence that kind of foretold some rockier times. Now that's what we're seeing. So I mean, this isn't exactly a genius observation given what's happening in the market, but we obviously need to see the rate market get tamed if we're going to see more forward progress in stocks overall. It's gotten to the point where instead of just leading to shifting behind the scenes from sector, you know, lagging sector to leading sector, to actually money coming out entirely, and that's what we've seen again. That's when, you know, interest rates go from being a diversion, a thing in the background that only impacts some assets and some sectors, into a real problem for the averages as a whole.
So as much as we can look at the economic data, it doesn't seem to at least impact what the Fed is doing, and hasn't for a little while now. It's more market moves. But one other thing that is, I think, playing a little bit of a role in just how optimistic people were getting and maybe the Fed staying on the sideline is the whole concept of this whole economic restart in the U.S. Even Texas this week announced that they're essentially reopening. How critical is it to watch what happens in Texas and this continued move in the U.S. towards, I guess, vaccinating everyone and getting the economy back restarted?
Well, there's certainly reason for optimism on the vaccination front, on the economic front. I mean, I know I'm ready to get on a plane and ready to get on a cruise ship at some point once it's safe and I'm vaccinated and so on, and I know I'm not alone. I mean, you know, we all want to sort of restart our lives and get back to some semblance of normalcy that we had, you know, 13, 14 months ago. And we're getting closer to that point. When you throw fiscal aid at the economy, you're turbocharging growth in the short to intermediate term as well, because you're giving people money they're going to go out and spend. The problem is, again, the Fed is sort of not acknowledging and or recognizing that shift in reality and sort of, easing the process a little bit, again, speaking to the bond market's concerns. And when you try and get that, you know, when your messaging is off from what the market is sort of leaning towards, that's when you get these disconnects. That's when you get these tantrums. That's when you get these, you know, sort of violent short-term moves. So, hopefully the Fed's going to kind of get it, so to speak, and, change its tune. And if it doesn't, then, again, we're going to expect more of the kind of action that we saw this week.
Yeah, fair enough. Mike, it's great having you on the show. I hope everybody enjoyed this first segment. I am going to be back and discussing a bit more on some of these commodity moves for the rest of the show. But, Mike, it's always great having you on the show. I really appreciate your time this weekend.
Thank you.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the unprecedented boom in the U.S. markets. If you're following EV stocks, then you may know that this potential $3 trillion marketplace depends on graphite for next-generation energy cells. You can get free up-to-the-minute research on the stocks that are leading the way in this red-hot sector with your free subscription to Avid Metals Research Report when you text the word HOT to 48542. Developments in the electric vehicle market are compelling, but investors know we're running short on lithium and graphite supply. Did you know we could also be running short of cobalt? Cobalt is used in chemical production and is one of the critical elements needed to make the EV power source. Research suggests there's not enough ability to mine and process the material to meet demand. We've identified a strategically well-positioned company that could lead the way in solving this critical problem. Get your free research from the Metals Research Report when you text HOT to 48542. Text HOT to 48542.
Hey y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires. Which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am chatting in this segment with Mark Chandler. Mark is the managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex. also writes the blog Mark to Market. We are going to spend a bit more time looking at the general markets, really taking a big picture look at what is happening for markets and some other sectors that are pretty critical. Mark, let's get into some of the news events from this week that contributed to the market moves. We first had Jerome Powell speak. We actually had a lot of other Fed presidents speak, but it was really Powell's comments that seemed to move markets the most and move them down. And we also had the U.S. non-farms payroll out that added more jobs than what was expected, 379,000 jobs added. Let's start with Powell's speech, though. Powell really did just confirm that the Fed is still going to be standing, for the most part, on the sidelines. No policy changes right now. What's important to note about what Powell had to say?
Yeah, I think that the most important takeaway from Powell is that the rise in U.S. interest rates is not a major concern to Fed officials, which means they're not going to do anything about the increase in yields. Like some people are talking about yield curve control or Operation Twist, where they buy more of the long end and sell the short end. I think that Powell's pretty clear, and I don't think that they haven't changed their tune, which I think alone represented some concern for the markets. Here, in the last few months, we've had the Treasury have these huge stimulus plans. We've got another one going. The market has revised up Q1 GDP, revising up all of this year's outlook for the U.S. economy. And the Fed says, and Powell says specifically, that we're a long way away from reaching our goals. And so what this means is that even as the economy, and we're talking about, you've seen some of these GDP now forecasts, it's anywhere between, say, 6 and 8.5% GDP growth, and the Fed says they're going to still be buying $120 billion worth of bonds every month. And so I think that I think the market works something like this. The Federal Reserve says, the chairman says, you haven't reached our pain threshold yet. Even though the volatility caught our attention, the yield level hasn't, it doesn't bother us. And that is like waving a flag. And the market says, if we haven't found your pain threshold yet, we're going to fish for it. And I think that's what we're in the process broadly of doing, fishing for the central bank's pain threshold. When do they say the rise in yields is problematic or counterproductive?
Let's dive into that jobs report, because in the next segment I will be covering more of the energy and oil sector. But that jobs report, 379,000 jobs added. You and I were talking about this before recording, and there's some nuances within this number that we do need to understand. Please share with us what you're seeing within this jobs number.
Sure. The jobs number was very strong. The headline, 379,000. The market expectations are creeping up. We're around 200,000. But we know that the government sector lost jobs. The private sector itself gained about 465,000 jobs. This is a very strong number. Like I say, well above expectations. But when you dig below it and you look at which sectors benefited, there's one sector that stands out, the leisure and hospitality sector. And that reflects the reopening in some places of the economy. That sector created 355,000 jobs. It's an amazing number, because we're not fully there yet, right? We haven't really fully opened up, even though some small pockets have. This is pretending, if you will, or suggesting what's in store for us. Perhaps when we get this month's report, there's already talk of over 1 million jobs. On the other hand, when you listen to what Powell says and what other central banks, not just in the U.S., but around the world say, they're still concerned about the labor market. In the U.S., both Powell and Yellen have talked about the unemployment rate really being closer to 10% than the 6.2% that was reported today. So maybe another way to think about the damage of the labor market, because we don't want to confuse ourselves thinking the economy is the same as the labor market. We can have jobless recoveries. And here's what it looks like. The number of people who've been unemployed for a long term, which is 27 weeks, stands at 4.1 million. That's up 125,000 last month. So even though we had a lot of job creation, that's really good. And the other side of it shows us the longer-term damage, and that is a rising number of people that are unemployed for a long period of time. Now, so we have 4.1 million on this long-term unemployed. This is up still 3 million from a year ago. And so if you ask, will the employment data, so strong, so much stronger than expected, will this change the Fed's view? And I say probably not. We'll see. The Fed meets on March 17th, and I think that this jobs number does not really alleviate concerns that the labor market remains scarred from what's, from this pandemic that we're still maybe winding down, but we're still in the middle of.
All of this just screams to me a restart trade, an economic restart trade, a steepening yield curve, money flowing into some of the banks, base metals and commodities still doing pretty well, especially with the potential of an infrastructure bill, even as energy prices continue to move higher. Where does this all leave gold then? Because gold, again, weak this week, actually broke below 1700.
Yeah, huh? Gold is really a heartbreak for a lot of people. We think that gold is fueled by inflation or fueled by, you think sell off in stocks, that should be good for gold. But I think that gold is a sort of a strange character in general. I think that we should be looking, even though to me gold is terribly oversold, as it got below that $1,700 level. I look for a small bounce next week, but I'm not convinced the low is in place yet in gold, partly because what's the driver for the sell-off? I don't think it's about inflation per se. I think it's higher nominal yields. Partly when I turned bullish gold, thinking we'd go to 2,000, we were around 1,400, and I thought that because I think the interest rates were going to continue to fall. And they, of course, they fell much further than I could have ever expected or imagined. But that interest rate, the falling interest rates makes gold look relatively more attractive because gold does not generate a yield. And so now that yields are rising, and I don't think we should be picking a top to the yields or like a bottom to bonds. And that just tells me that gold could have a little bit of a bounce, maybe at 1720, 1730, something like that. But I think that the next leg down, brings us probably closer to 1600. Which is a psychological level. There's some chart levels there as well as some retracement levels. So I think that we need to be careful of gold. For me, I think it's just a question of the discipline of what is driving it, what's driving the market we're looking at. I happen to think that interest rates are driving gold. And because interest rates are rising, I think that's negative for gold.
Well, Mike, we're going to wrap it up here. Thanks for taking some time on this weekend show. It's another crazy and wild week, but very interesting to see the way that these markets look like they're going to close up for the day. And actually, some of the swings we've seen have been fairly positive. Maybe that buy the dip mentality is still very prevalent in U.S. markets. Mark, great chatting with you, buddy. I'll chat with you again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks. Good luck to everybody.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attention radio listeners. If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electricity, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited number of solar backup generators are now back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently in your own home. So whether it's dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. And the best news, this week only, listeners purchasing a solar generator will receive hundreds of dollars in free off-the-grid bonuses. So go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Again, supplies are extremely limited, so go to mysolarbackup.com today.
USA Radio News.
One of Andrew Cuomo's accusers going public with her story. Charlotte Bennett says New York's governor made inappropriate comments to her while she was his executive assistant and health policy advisor. She also tells CBS News Cuomo had a female aide take a sexual harassment training course he was supposed to take in 2019.
I was there. I heard Stephanie say, "I can't believe I'm doing this for you." I'm making a joke about the fact that she was completing the training for him, and then I heard her at the end ask him to sign the certificate.
Cuomo's office says the governor completed the training himself. A court ruling could delay the trial of a former Minneapolis police officer accused of killing George Floyd. The Minnesota Court of Appeals Friday rules a lower court was wrong to throw out a third-degree murder charge against Derek Chauvin. That lower court judge will review the appeals court ruling. Chauvin accused of second-degree unintentional murder. Jury selection set for Monday. This is USA Radio News. Democrats struggling to get their own members to support the COVID relief bill. Democratic West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin on Friday holds up the almost $2 trillion bill over concerns about unemployment benefits. Manchin eventually agrees to a compromise, though, and Democrats hope the bill can pass this weekend. Republicans, though, still united in opposition. Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy on Fox News this week explaining why.
This feels dreadful. The only way I know how to improve it is with a shredder. It's not even a coronavirus bill. Calling this a coronavirus bill is like calling Harvey Weinstein a feminist.
The compromise Manchin agrees to calls for $300 a week in jobless aid through September 6th. Manchin also one of eight Democrats who helped defeat, including a $15 an hour minimum wage in the relief bill. Progress being made in eradicating the coronavirus. An advisor to President Biden's COVID response team Friday says the majority of seniors are now at least partially vaccinated against COVID-19. This is USA Radio News.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And in this segment, as promised, we are getting a bit more into the energy sector as I am chatting with Joseph Schatcher, founder and editor of the Schatcher Energy Report, and also writes the free newsletter Eye on Energy, which provides you an update on some of the fundamentals broadly in the oil and energy market. Joseph, I think we have to start with the OPEC Plus meeting and surprise announcement that OPEC Plus was not increasing production. That surprised the market and moved the oil price higher. Oil had a very strong end to the week, and as you and I are recording this late in the day on Friday, oil is, crude at least, is over $66 a barrel. Look, there's a lot of interest in oil, especially when you consider just last year oil was in negative territory. Joseph, give us a little background or some insights on what you took away from that OPEC Plus meeting.
Yeah, my pleasure, Corey. The basic assumption that the community had before the OPEC announcement was that OPEC would raise production in April by 500,000 for the whole of OPEC plus, and that would include Russia. And then the Saudis would talk about how they were going to bring back the million barrels that they said they cut back for the months of February and March. Now, in February, they only cut back 850,000, so they didn't get to the full million. We're going to see that data next week when we get the OPEC report coming out. But the big thing now is, of course, that they're not going to increase and bring that volume back. They have given 130,000 million barrels more to the Russians. I think 20,000 to Kazakhstan. But what they're missing is that while you may have 800,000 barrels not coming on the market, you have demand falling by 2 to 2.5 million barrels once winter is over. So demand might have been 94 million barrels in January and February. That number is going to come down to 91.5, 92, maybe 93 during the months of March, April, and May and June, and then it'll only pick up to 94, 95 when we get into the summer driving season. So the amount of inventory build, which is normally at this time of year, March, April, May, June, is going to happen again, and it may not be as much as it would have been if the OPEC had raised production, but the bottom line is we're going to see inventories build. Last week, for example, or the week, Wednesday, the inventories built commercial by 21.6, and you had gasoline down by 13.6, and you had distillates down by 9. So effectively, there was no build. But people don't realize that the U.S. production is now coming back in Texas. It was up by 300,000 barrels to 10 million from 9.7. That's still down by 3.1 million, and about a million of that is related to the Texas winter storm, which will probably bring these volumes back up, and as electricity and everything gets hooked up again. And so I think you're going to see both rising inventories in the next couple of months, and you're going to see U.S. rising production. And if these prices stay up, the U.S. shale industry is going to take off again, not by the large public multinational companies, but the private equity companies and the private companies that don't have this quarterly performance game, and who are the ones who sold out, a couple of years ago to the big boys. They started new companies, and now they're growing. And you can see that even from the rig count. We had an increase in the rig count in the Permian this week. So we're beginning to see, in my book, a good reason to be sellers. We've been saying that for a little while. Take advantage of it. Some stocks have gone a bit higher than where we said sell. Others are down, 5-10% from that. So it's a churning, topping market here. And for people who are invested in the sector, my best recommendation would be is you've got some great gains from the lows that we had, in March of 2020. If you are in that position, definitely this is euphoric territory, and harvesting some of those gains makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so you are seeing pressure come back into this market, but in all fairness, I know from talking to you, this market has gone a lot farther than you even thought that it could, and myself as well. I did not think that oil would be consistently rising this much, but there is also this component of the economic restart trade that is happening, and some of the states that are opening up. Could this mentality, could this enthusiasm help support oil at these general levels?
It has been, and you saw this week the jobs number that came out, which was positive. So you've got, a big increase. A lot of those are service-related jobs because those parts of the economy are being reopened. And so people are optimistic. The problem is the caseload is picking up again. The pandemic numbers are getting worse again. And you're seeing new cases, new mutations. The UK one, the South African one, the Brazilian one. I think if we do see more pickup in the caseload and in more worse, not do you want, the fatality count, I think that's going to cool the jets of what's going on here right now. This, to me, is very frothy. Stocks are gapping up today, 5-10%. And the reality is, if you put in and you say we're going to be $66 through the end of 21, you could argue e-stocks still have upside. But if you believe that the price of oil has got $15, $20 of froth in it, and should be in the 50 range or less, which is my view based on the fundamentals, that would mean, that we should see at some point, some kind of a, let's say, some black swan that surprises everybody, be it a pickup in U.S. production, be it the fact that China's not as much of a buyer because they didn't do their lunar holiday. They had everybody not traveling versus their normal travel, so their inventories are high. And so if they stop buying, and that could be the surprise that the market isn't focusing on right now. So I don't know what the reason is going to be that we're going to see a reversal of the price movement we've seen. But we were at $50 in early February, and so we've gone from 50 to 66. Part of it was the frothy speculative money coming into the futures market. The Robin Hood Reddit came in and moved the price of crude from 50 to 58, and then the freeze in Texas and the shutting of U.S. production took it to 62, 63, and then this last $3-4 up on the upside has been because of the OPEC agreement. I'm looking forward to seeing the OPEC data next week because, number one, I want to see, that what Saudi Arabia officially did was at 850 in terms of the cutback. And then I want to see the cheating by Venezuela and Iran, and I want to see what Iraq did. And so if we see that those other numbers are going up and nobody's talking about those because everybody just says Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia, then I think we're going to see a reversal of this wonderful rally that we've seen. And my view is, if you've got great gains, you may not get the first 10% of the move or the last 10% of the move, but if you pick up the big chunk of it, which we did, that to me is acceptable and a win, fabulous win.
When you talk about pullback and a better buying opportunity, what does that look like percentage-wise or even price level-wise? How far, how fast could these things drop?
Well, if we get down below 50 in WTI, then, you're looking at a, 20%, 25% decline in the commodity price. I don't think natural gas prices go down maybe more than 10%. So that's why, again, why I think natural gas is, if you're staying exposed, stay exposed natural gas-wise. But if I'm right, you could see the S&P TSX Energy Index, it could go down to 60. So it could be a 50% decline. Just pull out a long-term chart, and you can see this kind of movement. That's the kind of large moves that the oil sector can do, both positively, which it's done right now. It's because it's gone from 60 to where it is now, and it's it was 38 in March of 2020, and could it go back to the 60 where we saw just a few months ago? I think it can.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. It's been a wild market for energy and oil in particular. So we'll see how it all plays out. But the surprise announcement this week did come out of OPEC Plus, and it did move the price higher. Joseph, it's great chatting with you. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
All right, welcome back. Here we are wrapping up the weekend edition of the KE Report. And in this segment, I am featuring Tier 1 Silver. Now, I do get a lot of questions about this company, mostly asking, when is it going to be listed and tradable? We will get to that answer coming up in this interview. I am joined right now by Ivan Bebek, co-founder and co-chairman, and also Peter Dembicki, the new president and CEO at Tier 1 Silver. Now, guys, as I mentioned, I've received a lot of questions, especially on the back of closing the financing for just short of $13.5 million, which was up from $10 million initially announced. Ivan, I want to start off with a big picture look then at the spin-out company, Tier 1 Silver. There's also another spin-out in Peru that we'll talk about in future interviews. And on the back of that spin-out, also Fury Gold Mines was created. Now, Ivan, you mentioned when the companies were being spun out that you were looking to unlock value in some of these assets that weren't carrying the same amount of value or getting the same amount of attention that you thought they deserved when they were all under the Orin brand. Give us an update now of where these companies stand after the spin-out and how you think value has been unlocked, please.
Thanks, Corey. It's great to be back. It's no shortage of probably the busiest 6 months of our careers, splitting Orin into three. There's been a lot of changes, especially with Tier 1 Silver, since we split Orin into three companies on October 9th. I did advocate that there would be considerable value added into Tier 1 between that October 9th date and when we would relist. And that comes in a few different ways. Most importantly, our Curry Via project has wowed us and really knocked us off the chair with excitement. And we are now looking at something that's developed into what we're describing as the best undrilled, high-grade, large-scale silver potential discovery globally, and that's where it ranks with us, which is a very large statement. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, today. Subsequent to that kind of revelation, we did receive drill permits on December 28th, which is amazing. For those of you who have followed us through the Peruvian, you know, fairly lengthy process to get permits, we achieved those during COVID, and we also achieved those during some political turmoil in Peru with the election. So no delay there. We got those on time, in fact, early. And most importantly, we got a new CEO that joined our group, Peter Dembicki, who's with us today. I've known Peter since the early days, since elementary school, actually, and I followed his career when he was a broker at Canaccord Genuity, one of the largest brokerage firms in Canada. Peter was at the top of his career, and you know, when we looked for this CEO for Tier 1 Silver, we didn't need another geologist. We certainly have what we argue is one of the better technical teams globally, and between Sean and myself, we're both very comfortable on the corporate aspects of the company. But as we split one company into three, the one place we wanted to beef up kind of our management was on the monetization capital markets aspect. And so Peter comes to us with a wealth of experience. He also has a unique background as a world champion rower. He won the world championship in rowing. And why that's important to us is not because we're going to row, but it's more to do with his work ethic. And if you want to meet somebody that's extremely determined, ambitious, driven, and professional, that's what you get with Peter. So off to a great start, got drill permits. The portfolio has grown for Tier 1 Silver, and we just completed that funding at a very good valuation that we think is just the start of what's to come.
So, Peter, let's bring you in here. Ivan did provide a bit of a background there, but give us an update of what attracted you to join Tier 1 and, even more importantly, the group that is behind Tier 1 Silver.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me. It was a big decision for me to switch careers. 40 years old, I had an amazing 10-plus years at Canaccord. I did leave at the top of my career, but it really was first and foremost the people that drew me to the Tier 1 group, formerly Orin. You know, anytime I had clients investing in any of the deals or companies that I would recommend to anyone, there are a few points that I'd have to check off the box. One, have they done it before? Well, in the case of Ivan and Sean, yes, they've done it a couple times in good markets and bad. Two, operations, in the case of an exploration team, that's our technical team. Really is the best technical team I've seen in any exploration company out there. So that provided me with a lot of confidence. Three, you know, it's our shareholder base that we have inherited from Orin is so incredibly strong. They are such great loyal shareholders. They understand the business of exploration. So, you know, these kind of check boxes that you check off down the list is something that I would have put all my clients into at the time. And for Ivan to give me the tap and to bring me into the family, it's an honor. And now that I'm here, I see the efficiency, how everybody's working, and obviously the potential of our flagship project. I couldn't be more excited. We are firing on all cylinders here.
All right, Ivan, let's bring you back in, and let's talk about the flagship project then. Curry Bayah, you and I have talked about this in the past, but now that permits are received, there's a clear path to some near-term catalyst when it comes to drilling. What is the attack strategy going to be here?
Well, the favorite part of that answer is going to be drilling to see if we've got it, you know, one of these massive discoveries. And, you know, quick little overview, Curry Bayah started with high-grade silver, and it got better and better and better. And so what we have is a 20-kilometer alteration system running several veins, multiple veins coming out of one source. They're running, 80 of them run above half kilo silver up to 300 kilo silver, which is absolutely astounding in terms of metal budget. Then there's gold veins as well, and 60 of them are running from 2 grams to 934 gram gold. So these veins are all emanating from one spot in the middle of this massive 20-kilometer alteration system. Before I get into what happens beneath the surface, real quickly, we age-dated the alteration system because we are on the belt of some of the largest mines, porphyry mines in the world, such as Quellaveco, Tocopala, Cajone, and Cerro Verde. And we actually age-dated our alteration system to the same as those. And that's paramount when thinking about world-class discoveries. You need to be in that same era of the event that occurred for those mines. So to jump to the chase, what happens underneath all this silver and gold on surface with these incredible grades? We got a 700 to 750 meter window of targets for just precious metal. This would include, actually, there is now, you'll see soon, some open pit targets, but there's going to be stockwork veins in the top 120 meters, and we'll look for a series of those together to form an economic type of scenario. And then we get into about 200 to 300 meters of feeder structures that are in rocks that are much more permissible to host big, thick veins, type of vein structures, and then we get into a very big disseminated target for the last 400 meters of that vertical kind of window. And, you know, we don't know, like, we could drill anywhere from, you know, 5-10 meters of a kilo silver up to 300 meters of a kilo silver. Those are the kind of possibilities that we're seeing in our targeting. You know, listening to some of the former Newmont world experts that are on our board, as well as our team there, you know, the classification is the size and the amount of targets that exist here for a big precious metal system are astounding to them. And it's something that's unique. It's something that hasn't been seen in a considerable amount of time, and there's really no strong analogous mine to it. Underneath all of that, that first 750 meters, we overlap into a big intrusion. And if you understand much about technical world of how the geology works, generally there's an event that created the system of epithermal, you know, deposits or grade that comes to surface. And that sometimes can be a porphyry. And because we're on the belt of these massive porphyries, we have to be porphyry minded and think, wow, what if this intrusion is a big porphyry? And you go from precious metal system and you drill a 1,000 meters or two of porphyry after that. I mean, grade is going to be the number one question and risk. That could also be an epithermal intrusion where it could be continuous precious metals. But, you know, what I've just described to you was one of the biggest or the biggest target I've seen in 21 years of being in this business. It's never been drilled before. The lottery is going to be the grade, the grade and the width. You know, we've mapped some of the widths to be considerable through geophysics, but what's the grade going to be? Are we going to be drilling tens of meters of a kilo silver, 100 gram silver, or 200-300 kilo silver like we've seen on surface? So it's really a truly, you know, one of those rare opportunities. I hate and I like the cliche of once in a lifetime, but this is the first for me, and it'd probably be the last as an epithermal system that hasn't been drilled with this kind of endowment potential in a world-class belt.
All right, guys, unfortunately, we are out of time for this last segment on the radio, but there is a lot more to discuss involving Tier 1 Silver, so we are going to continue this conversation, and I will post the full interview on our website, kereport.com, in the weekend show posting. So everybody listening on the radio, please come by our website. I also want to thank everybody for tuning in this weekend. I also hope that you all had a chance to visit the website throughout the week and keep up to date on some of the market commentary and company interviews that I publish on a daily basis. And please, everyone, keep in touch. Fleck@kereport.com. I love hearing from all of you. Everyone, have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hi, Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.